Father, we want to thank you for your goodness.
Aman, salamat kayo Dios imong kaayo.
Want to thank you for your mercy.
Salamat Ginoo sa imong kaluoy.
Want to thank you for your presence.
Salamat Ginoo ikaw kayo dania.
Father, we are very so much in need of your presence.
Lord, kinanglan kay kami sa imong presensya.
Give us of your mind this afternoon.
Kay kami una-una nga makasabot kanimo ni kahaponon.
Move upon us as we are here delivering the word.
Mga paglihok ikaw Ginoo samtang kami mga padayon pagdugo sa imong pulong.
Move upon those that are hearing the word.
That
which they hear will bring life and will bring
liberty.
Praise the Lord.
Dalaygo ng Dios.
We are coming down to the end of our time here.
Diyo kita nagapanayon.
I want to say how much I appreciate and am so very thankful for the many of you that have come.
Malipay sa dako ng kita uban kanato nga daghan gyud kayo karon.
I don't know that I will get a chance to do it again. So I want to make sure that you know that I have appreciated you coming and hearing.
Wata mahibalo kon makita pa ba pero nagpasalamat siya nga niya
matapos kanato. Hallelujah. I'm very encouraged to see all of these people. It means that the seed that is being sown,
nagpasabot kini nga ang mga pulong nahisok na,
is producing life.
Naga anam kini kadaghan og kinabuhi.
Hallelujah.
Dalaygon ang Ginoo.
I would also ask you to pray for us.
Nagampo sa amin, kamo magampo sa karila.
We have a very heavy schedule this year.
Daghan kay ilahang mga gipanghatag higayon para sa magkalaing lugar.
You see, I believe the Lord is coming.
Nasutotang ang Dios, maabot na.
Praise the Lord. And there is yet much that has to be done.
Naghan pay wala pagayon mahuman.
We will be going to Africa.
Ato sila sa Africa.
I go home. I'm home for about 10 days.
Uli sila sa iyahaw niya. Mga napulok adlaw lang.
And I will be leaving to go to Ethiopia.
Ato na po siya sa Ethiopia. Bitag ka upanong ta.
And then after that, there is a meeting in Sierra Leone.
Ato na po siya sa tugyang giingon ni Kukalitok ato.
That we will be going to in September.
Ato na po siya sa September.
And in October,
pagka October na sad,
we are going to be in the Czech Republic.
Ato na po siya sa iyang kauban sa
and
Czech Republic.
Possibly in November,
pagka November na sad,
we will be in Kenya.
Ato na po siya sa Kenya
by the grace of God.
Sa grasya lamang sa Ginoo.
Hallelujah. We are preaching the same message.
Pareha rin po na mensahe ila pagdalhon ngatong mga
everywhere that we are going.
Sila padulong.
We are admonishing the church
nagapasangkap sila sa iglesia
that they need to get ready.
Kinahanglan kayo ka mahimong anda mang matag-usa. Dalaygo ng Ginoo.
Because I believe that God is coming back for a church.
Tayo ta nga ang Dios mubalik kayo alang sa iyang iglesia.
Without spot or wrinkle.
Wala kayo man sa ni kunot man.
But I also believe that there is great tribulation coming.
Aduna usay umabot ra kong kasakitan.
You have heard me say it many times.
Nagatugo kita kaniya nagasublis paggasingon kinene.
But I cannot speak without telling you and warning you.
Dili siya makahimo sa pagsulting dunay pagana. Hatag kanato og pagwarning.
Right now you are sitting on a very volatile situation over in Korea.
Ato na nibaluan kagahapon balang sitwasyon sa Korea nga mahipong epektuhan sa tani.
That will affect you.
Maipiktuhan
if something really drastically happens. And I don't know if this is the time frame that it is supposed to happen. But I do know that the church has authority. Do you hear me? I said the church, which means you. You have an authority.
Aduna kay katungod o kagahom.
And you should not look at these world events that are happening outside and around about you or even way around the world as events that do not affect you. Because they will in one way or another. Because when things start to happen, they're going to happen and the effects of them are going to be felt around the world. That means that something that happens on the North American continent that is catastrophic and brings a great deal of damage in the economics or in the position or place of life. Believe me, it's going to affect you. Hallelujah. You know, what the Lord showed me is it's like an S curve. You see the S? Anywhere that you're on the curve of the S, you can see the rest of the S. And what the Lord showed me, it would be like dominoes. You know what dominoes are?
Blocks.
Hallelujah. When a tragedy or a catastrophe happens, whatever it may be, it happens over here. It leans and it knocks this one. And then it leans and it knocks this one. Are you listening to me? Because I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Hallelujah.
Now you may be down here somewhere in this arena, or you could even be down here, over here. Hallelujah. And you're able to see what is happening over there. But because it's happening over there, it doesn't really bother you. It doesn't really affect you. And so you have a disinterested attitude, or you have an attitude of indifference. And you go about your business as it is no concern to you at all. But the fact of the matter is that it's coming around. Hallelujah. When it happens over there, what happened over there happens over here, believe you me, you're going to be in trouble. Unless you have prepared yourself, you have exercised yourself in the authority that God has given you. The church has something of a rapture doctrine. And I'll tell you right now that I do not believe in the rapture doctrine. Hallelujah. Abraham didn't get raptured out of his problems. Jacob didn't get raptured out of his problems. Noah didn't get raptured out of his problems. Noah built a boat. It was called an ark. And he floated through his problems. He sailed through his problems. Hallelujah. And if that isn't enough for you, you can look at Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, Jesus, who the Bible says is the author and the finisher of whose faith? Your faith. And Jesus did not get raptured.
Ug bisan pa wala siya kayaban niadto
pa. He did not get raptured out of Gethsemane.
Bisan pa nagahilak siya dito sa Gethsemane.
He didn't get raptured out of the tribunal that tried him.
Kita niya nako masakitan wala siya kayaban niadto pa nahuna.
He didn't get raptured out of the midst of Pilate's court.
Bisan pa kadto sa Pilato wala ni siya ingon nga gisaggaw sa Ginoo niadto pa nahuna.
It says that he endured the cross. He accepted the cross. Endured the shame of it.
Gitapos niya ang katong mga butanga.
That God might be able to resurrect him.
Hallelujah.
And lift him up and put him on the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
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 I read my spiritual newspaper this morning. And I went to the job listings. And it said wanted. Sons of God. How many want to apply for the job?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Not too many of you, maybe, huh? Hallelujah. But if you want to be.
Okay, claro ko na.
Well, that's a little better.
Hallelujah.
And if you want to be sons of God, then there is the school of sons of God that you have to go through. And we have spent meeting after meeting, word after word, laying down for you the curriculum. Giving you the instructions. Hallelujah. Giving you, as it were, the pattern. Hallelujah. As to what it will take for you to come into a position or place that God can say unto you, yes, well done, enter into this position, this day of rest. And, you know, I'm not using that scripture to designate the coming of Jesus Christ in when He calls His church. I'm using that scripture as it is used in Hebrews. I believe it's the third chapter where He says to the church that we are to labor to enter into His rest. Brother Mark says it's Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And if it is indeed the fourth chapter, it is the chapter of tribulation.
Hallelujah.
Four is the number of tribulation. The articles of furniture in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. They are designed to bring you to a position of refinement. They are a work that goes on progressively. When you have come to the brazen altar and you have accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, oh, hallelujah! Life giving. Life changing. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. How many of you have had the blood of Jesus Christ? I want to see your hand. How many of you have had the blood of Jesus Christ?
Oh,
I want to see your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I should just tell you to hold up your hands and keep them up there. So that you all could look around to see who does not have their hand up.
Oga ipatasa nga itong kamot tungkol kay iyang tanaw kung kisa ka itong wala mo taas kamot.
And you can go talk to them after the meeting.
Aron ikaw yang tanayata yung sultihan pakahuman sa mao nga panagtigom nato karon.
Because I want to tell you something.
Okay, gusto siyang may paat kani.
If you don't get anything else out of this meeting,
kun wala tay na hitabo, wala tay na saptan human ta nini nga mao panagtigom.
The least that you should get is saved.
Kinahanglan kay kita ang maabot nga sa kaluwasan.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So we have the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood of Jesus Christ does not only save you or give you salvation, but it gives you the opportunity to be made perfect. Hallelujah. I'm talking about perfection beyond what we are able to comprehend.
Nagasulti siya may tungod kini nga pagka-imprint ko kay ang mata ko sa kanato ma-muabot kayo din eh.
The blood of Jesus Christ is not only supposed to give you the opportunity to be saved.
Ang dugo ni Kristo so sila kay nagaluwas kanato.
But it gives you the opportunity to change. Getting saved doesn't mean you just go to church on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, or whenever else your prayer meetings might be, and then you walk out the door,
amen,
and you act like the devil again. Hallelujah. What the blood of Jesus Christ says to you, what it says to me, is that you have to change. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Salvation is not guaranteed because you have the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a process that begins because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But unless you come to a place in the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you reach a point that God wants you to reach, then what God has given you is in vain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was sitting in a meeting one day, and I was listening to a young lady teaching the children. Listening to a young lady teaching the children. The Bible says that you must be a child, as a child, to enter into the kingdom of God. So it was no mistake. It wasn't happen chance that as she was teaching the children, I got a revelation. I got some understanding. Now, I don't know if that means I'm younger than I really am. But it certainly means that I was on the right level at the right time, hearing what needed to be heard. And she was talking about the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And all of the instruments that were there. And she was talking about the golden altar of incense. Hallelujah. Which is the fifth station. Right? It's the fifth station in the tabernacle. Hallelujah. Now, I hope you're taking notes, because you need to go back and look at it, and you need to make sure that I'm not pulling your leg. You need to be sure that I'm not giving you some sort of false doctrine. Hallelujah. And I'm not afraid for you to go in there and look at it. Because I know what you're going to find. He's going to find the same thing that I found out. Hallelujah. The fifth station is not an altar of sin. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? It's not an altar of sin. All of these pieces of furniture out here, they are designated works of God to deal with your sin. Hallelujah. It's like if you are going to a higher university and you want a degree that's above the other degrees that you've got. Hallelujah. They give you, you take your exams. You put in your time, you take your exams. But then you have one more final test. You have to write a report or a thesis concerning something of the subject that you're involved with and that you're learning. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I hope so. Hallelujah. And it's not till you pass that test do they give you the degree that you want. Hallelujah. It's much like a doctor, you know. A doctor will go to school. He will go to medical school. They will put him into a program called internship. Now this is after school upon school upon school. But he has yet one more phase that he has to go through before he gets the title doctor. They put him in a position or a place that they call residency. And it's the final thing that happens before he graduates into the next realm and becomes a full-fledged doctor. Okay, that's involving specialists, and that's what I'm talking about. Brother says that residency is given to people who want to specialize. Now, I think that you are here because you want to specialize. I think you want to be more than... I think you want to be more than nominal Christians. Hallelujah. Well, at least I hope you're here for more than being a nominal Christian. There were many that followed after Jesus because they wanted the loaves and the fishes. And when the word of God began to come forth, it was like a sharp two-edged sword, and it began to divide the ranks. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you're going to be hitting situations that is going to be sifting and sorting so that only those that are dedicated, consecrated, hallelujah. Did you hear me? Dedicated, consecrated, hallelujah, and have allowed the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, they're going to be the ones left at the end of the day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, I read in Revelations that it is at the fifth station. Hallelujah. Now, there are seven churches. There are seven churches in Revelation that correspond to the seven pieces of furniture that are in the tabernacle. If you lost your Bible, and all you had was a picture of the tabernacle, I think that would be all that you would need. Because God in some divine manner would bring you understanding and revelation as to the reality of His purpose. You see, God wants you to know His purpose more than what people want to know His purpose. So therefore, God is going to use extraordinary means in extraordinary circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's the church of, you've got it there.
Oh, Mokinesia.
Yes, you, chapter. All right, in chapter 2. 3. In chapter 3.
Yeah, capitulo 3.
You have the message of the angel to the church of Sardis.
Oh, gimo makita rin ang mensahe ng ato sa Sardis.
Sardis. I don't know what it would be in your language. But there was an angel of the church of Sardis. Do you know what the angel represents? The angel represents a word. The word angel in the Greek means messenger. Hallelujah. So therefore, the angel in Revelations chapter 2 or 3, well, 2 and 3, I think it's both chapters, right? The seven angels are seven messages. They're seven words. And quite frankly, brethren, I think that we are participating with those words. Hello? Do you hear me? That means that the word that is written in Revelations concerning the end time is now a word that is being preached unto you.
Even more interesting, the fifth seal is the same who have been slain are under the altar.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So here we have the church of Sardis pressing and working in the things of the kingdom, but there was some problems there. Some of them weren't really behaving well, but others were. Now this messenger makes a very startling statement. Hallelujah. Let us turn and read what he said concerning this church. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Revelation, the third chapter. Hallelujah. Three is the number of completeness. It says in the third verse, let's start at the number of completeness, completeness. The first thing that the angel was saying to that church was to remember.
ngadto sa kan iglesia kina nagaingon siya nga hinumdumi.
You have to recall.
Kinahanglan atong hinumduman.
You want to rehearse.
Kanu kinahanglan nga ato kayo kining mabansa.
The things that you have heard.
Mga butang nga atong nadunggan.
The things that you have that you are reading.
Mga butang nga atong nabasa.
It's very important. The responsibility is upon you.
Importante kay kanang atong kinabuhion.
It's one thing for you to come and sit in that chair.
Samtang ikaw nga ingko diha sa imong
and hear what is that being spoken.
Og maka papaminaw ikaw kuno sa katong gisulti.
It is another thing for you to take what you have heard. And go into the Word to find out the reality of it yourself. You cannot stand on my revelation. My experience will not help you in your time of trouble. The fact of the matter is, I might be way over on the other side of the world in my own trouble, trying to walk out my own salvation with regards to the revelation of sonship. Praise the Lord. So I am not calling you to join a church. I'm not calling you to be part of an organization. If what you are in is an organization, you need to get out of it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
If you are in an organization, you need to get out of it. The Bible says, come out of her, my people. Talking about a system of organized relation of religion. My desire, my ambition is not to have a congregation of people. I don't want a congregation of people. Hallelujah. I want to be part of a body. I want to be part of an organism.
Gusto siya sa party nga kining bahin nga nagapanglihok.
An organization is inflexible. It cannot breathe.
Ang organisasyon dili ingon nga kanang dili kini siya ingon magkabalik dili siya mutuo.
It has to move in a certain way, in a certain format.
Oh, dili siya maka.
It cannot bend. It cannot suddenly change. Hallelujah.
Organization.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if something goes wrong in the upper echelon of the organization, the organization is not able to compensate for that deficiency. It brings destruction to the whole faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to belong to a body.
Amen.
I want to belong to something that is flexible. Able to adapt. Able to move in sudden circumstances. Hallelujah. I don't want to be confined to a realm of knowledge that is limited. An organization has limited resources. They have limited funds. They have limited potential.
Limitado lang ang iyang karam.
Why would I want a limited position or place of fellowship?
Gusto siya niya walay limitar na pagka.
Hallelujah.
If I am a part of a body, I have infinite resources. I have infinite knowledge. And that knowledge can come from this one or that one or that one, or even from these. Or it can come from a little child. The operation of this organism that God calls the body is infinite in its possibilities and its potentiality. Let me explain to you how capable God is of communicating to His body. I'm sitting in a meeting in Florida. Brother is preaching a word on the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it's a deep word. Very complicated word. Do you hear me? I have my 3-year-old granddaughter sitting on my lap. When I take my children and my grandchildren into a meeting, I believe they are capable of hearing the Holy Spirit. So I create an environment for them that is conducive for them to hear the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? That means they can't be running around. They can't be talking to each other. I put a blanket sometimes down on the floor. Hallelujah. And their little books. They can sit at my feet. Hallelujah. Or they can sit in my lap. And when they are reading scriptures, I take them, put them on my lap, I open the Bible, and I point at the words. I know they cannot read, but I know that they can hear, and I know they can perceive. So we're sitting in this meeting, and the Spirit of God is moving. The revelation of God is moving. Hallelujah. The blood is moving. Hallelujah. I'm sitting there in that chair. And as we come to the close of the meeting, this little girl gets up off of her little blanket. You know, and she reaches up to me. And I help her up into my lap. She puts her arms around my neck. And she says to me, "Grandpa, hallelujah, I don't want to be naughty anymore." 3 years old. She says, "I don't want to be naughty anymore." She says, "Grandpa, I want the blood of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. That little girl in that meeting, in that place, was born again. Hallelujah. 3 years old. Hallelujah. We inhibit the Spirit of God. We inhibit the potentiality of God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. I had my other 3-year-old granddaughter there. Hallelujah. When we got back to the room, she told me, "Grandpa, I want what Rye has gotten."
sulti kanhi mga kunalimtan.
She said, I want Jesus in my heart.
Gusto pa niya ko
rin niya. And she accepted the blood of Jesus Christ.
Duga sa dawat sa dugo ni Kristo ito.
Hallelujah. Unlimited potentiality in God.
Wala kayo'y tinutuban kayo gaya pang.
And we want to limit him by the things that are all around
us.
Hallelujah. You know, God wants so much for you. God wants so much for you to be a part of what it is that He is doing. Hallelujah.
But God,
but what God says is if you don't do it, if you don't proclaim the position of His majesty in your life, He said the rocks would cry out. You remember when He was going into Jerusalem? And the children were saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were proclaiming. They were proclaiming. They were broadcasting liberty.
Hallelujah.
They were trumpets that were blowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Pharisaical system came to him and says, do you hear what these are saying? Why don't you tell them to be quiet? My God! Hallelujah! And Jesus said if they were to be quiet, then the rock would proclaim His entrance into Jerusalem. It's very apropos. Because Jesus Christ is coming into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Not that natural place called Jerusalem. That's over there in the Middle East. But it is the Jerusalem of God. We are parts and pieces of that Jerusalem.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to understand what it is that God is saying to you. He's saying to us collectively and individually. Praise the Lord. So here we are in the first chapter of Revelation. He says, remember. Hallelujah. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. My goodness. We are to remember. We are to remember. Huh? Number one, priority. We are to remember. We are to remember from where it was that God has called you. You are to remember the power that it took above God to save you, to heal you, to deliver you, to move you into a place in His presence that you might be able to participate with Him in His plan for you as well as the rest of the world. My God! Hallelujah! Says remember! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. He says, what thou hast received and heard, and it is this to hold fast. Hold fast. Those words are not something that you hold like you are holding lightly. You need to get a hold of it and hang on to it as though your life depended on it. Because brethren, one day your life may depend on it. And if you have not been practicing the reality of Jesus Christ in your life, God will not necessarily intervene at that moment. Hallelujah. You know, there was a story that was shared earlier, but I'm going to share it again. There was a woman in Jamaica. She was not a big woman. She was a small woman. But she was a God-fearing woman. She loved the Lord. Hallelujah. And she had a husband. Here she and her husband lived in a little house by themselves. One day, robbers broke into her house. And she had a double-barrel shotgun. Do you hear me? You know what a double-barrel shotgun is? Hallelujah. And she was in the kitchen when they broke into the house. My God. Hallelujah. And as they broke into the house and began to make demands upon the husband, she burst out of the kitchen. And she says, "Get out of here! Get out of here!" Hallelujah. And the man turned around and gave her both barrels right in the chest. Both barrels right in the chest. Down she went. Both barrels right in the chest. Knocked her down. It kind of picked her up and flung her right down on the floor. My God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That didn't stop that little old lady. She got up off the floor and said, "Get out of here!" The man threw his gun, turned around and ran out of that place. The husband, bless his heart, was concerned about the wife, so she grabs her. He grabs her. And they rush down to the hospital. Because he's sure she's bleeding to death. When they examined her, all she had was little red pock marks where the shotgun pellets had peppered her body. Hallelujah. They didn't even make holes in her blouse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She had a bulletproof blouse. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Blood of Jesus Christ. That blood not only is able to change you. Hallelujah! But it is able to heal you. It's able to lift you up off the bed of affliction. Hallelujah! It's able to deliver you from familiar spirits. My God, come on! Hallelujah! We are supposed to hold fast. Hold fast what we believe. Not persuaded to move off of the sinner of righteousness. Hallelujah. Keeping our eyes, as it were, glued to that figure, to that reality of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're to hold fast. Tenaciously, determinedly hold fast. And then we are to repent. Hallelujah. We must move always under the conviction of Jesus Christ. We must always move under the force or the power of the excellence of Jesus Christ. The more I look at Him, the more I repent. The more I see of myself the more I am required to humble myself before Him. Hallelujah. Repentance is not something that started and ended out here in the whole, in the outer court. Hallelujah. My God. We're still quite Catholic in our thinking. We think that we can pay to get out of trouble. We can pay to get out of trouble. We believe that we can have of the blood and go back out and act like the devil again. If you got the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't go back and act like you never met Him or He ever happened to you. Hallelujah. Not if you're remembering. Not if you're holding fast. Hallelujah. The church teaches that this is the place of repentance. The Baptists have a doctrine, once saved, always saved. Huh? Oh yes, I was in the Baptist church. I grew up in the Baptist church. Hallelujah. I know what the Baptists believe. Hallelujah. But you know, they're not the culprits. They're not the blame. The blame comes from the mother church. Huh? The Bible calls her the harlot. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Hallelujah. This is just a variation of purgatory. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Don't care what you do. I don't care how much you sin. If you're sprinkled and confirmed, hallelujah, after purgatory, you get heaven.
Oh,
you didn't hear purgatory, huh? Hallelujah. It's just a continuation of it. And brethren, it's a lie out of hell. He that knoweth God cannot commit sin. Because if he commits sin, then he does not know God. I'm talking about a person who deliberately, premeditatively begins to think about sinning. I'm not talking about walking along and stubbing your toe and falling down into sin. That has a solution. And the solution is repentance. Hallelujah. If you repent, you are genuinely sorry for the fact of your sin. God will forgive you. Hallelujah. And you know, God is very well, very capable of taking care of you so that you will not sin again with that sin. You know, there are some sins that we do, and though we repent of them and God forgives us, there is what I call the corrective ministration of God's love toward us. I'll give you an example. Two men in prison, and they're both there because they have murdered somebody. Hallelujah. And they both receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I'm not making this story up, it's a true story. Hallelujah. In our fellowship, we go into the prisons. Hallelujah. Two men have committed the same crime.
Both of them have the same sentence upon them for life. Hallelujah. Both of them received the Lord. Genuine salvation, baptism in water, baptism in Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In the course of time, one of them is released. Hallelujah. But the other has still there serving his time. Why would God do that? Because God knows the potentiality that is in the heart of the man. And there's yet a process for him to work out his deliverance. And God knows if he was to let out, he would lose his salvation. And fall right back into the sin that destroyed him in the beginning. Hallelujah. And we have to remember, we have to hold fast, and we have to repent. Sometimes our repentance is partial. We really are sorry. But unfortunately, we're not sorry enough. It says that, what does it say? Godly sorrow. Godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Ang paghinumdum sa imong kasalanan tungod sa pagbigtar sa Dios mao kini pagkapahinulsol kanato.
That's why I believe in chastising my children.
Mao kini amo na nakatuo siya nga kinahanglan nga aduna gyapon siya pag disiplina sa iyang bata.
I do not chastise my children or spank my children.
Kini ingo nga ipagawas sa iyang
because I mean or sadistic. I chastise my children because I love them. And I want them to know that they are my children. Hallelujah. We seem to think that children need to grow up to a certain age before we start applying discipline to them. And what you are doing is that you are training a child for the spirit of lawlessness. Do you know what one of the signs of the end time is? It's the spirit of lawlessness. Not only is it lawlessness, but it says it shall turn, the hearts of the children shall be against the parents. And they will prosecute and persecute the parents. Your children. Hallelujah. It's not somebody else's children. Hallelujah. Because there is a spirit of lawlessness that is trying to rob you of your inheritance in God. Hallelujah. Now my children are all grown, gone, married, and I have grandchildren. I was very active with my children. In the States, we were able to do what we call homeschooling. And when I started with my children, it wasn't something that everybody was doing as far as the States are concerned. In fact, me and my wife did a lot of radical things. If you were to look at it from a more sophisticated, educated perspective. Hallelujah. But you know, when my children were being born, it was the doctors in the hospital's responsibility. I didn't believe that. I believe that I had a part in the aspect of those children. And I wanted to be in a place or in a position that I could participate with my wife when those children were born. I wasn't satisfied with waiting out in a waiting room. While my wife was in there laboring, bringing forth not her child, but our child. I wanted to be in there with her. I wanted to be able to encourage her in the Lord. I wanted the ability to pray for the doctor, hands on. Hallelujah. I wanted to be able to intercede for the sake of my wife as well as for the sake of my children. And as every one of those children broke through into the world, I was able to lay my hands on them and give them the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. It was no foreign doctor that was catching that child. Hallelujah. I don't know what he was involved in. I don't know what kind of a man he was, but I knew one thing for sure, that I have the power of the laying on of hands, and I wanted to lay my hands upon those children and dedicate them to the plans and the purposes of God. Now, does that mean that those children are perfect? Absolutely not. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I have an assurity. I have a word from God concerning those children. And no matter where they are or what they're doing, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
I can say to God, they are your children.
Fix them.
Deliver them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to remember, we need to hold fast, and we need to repent. My God. Brethren, your power, your authority will not work in this time, if you do not meet the criteria that is being laid upon the table. Hallelujah. There were things that God did in the past. In spite of what we were and what we were doing, God moved anyway. But I'm here to tell you, the door to that dispensation of grace is closing. Did you hear me? That dispensation of grace is closing. Hallelujah. And now there is a need. Hallelujah. There is a need for you and I to begin to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Submit ourselves to the Spirit of God and submit ourselves one to the other. That we might be strengthened in the nature and in the quality of God that is within Him. My God! Hallelujah! We're coming into a time when we're going to need one another. Need one another. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I can remember in the early days when we were going over to Africa and we were running into Nigeria. Oh my, this was 20, 25 years ago. Year in, year out. In there, preaching and teaching, traveling there, traveling there. Sweating and suffering, going hungry.
Gutom siya, paningot.
Some of us coming back with malaria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can remember one day when we had a sister that was with us that was so sick that we had to carry her home. My God. Hallelujah. Day in, day out. But the word of God was being planted within the hearts of men and women. Hallelujah. And the church was coming together. Hallelujah. There was a working in the church. Hallelujah. People were helping one another. Hallelujah. It was growing in strength and vitality. It is very possible that the church in that day may be a lot like this church here. Hallelujah. In that they were in a land of poverty. There were no jobs. You hear me? There was no jobs, no work. And it wasn't as though they did not want to work because they wanted to work. But there was no jobs, no availability to work. Hallelujah. So the church had to work together to help one another in order to survive. Hallelujah. Money was not being spent on apartments and clothes and cars and things. It was being preserved to start things up that would help the church. Hallelujah. And they were giving and giving and giving and giving out of their need and out of their want, brother. They didn't have it to give, but they would dig down just like that man that had that widow that had that one night mite, and she put it into the tray. And the church there was working and moving and growing. My God. We thought that we had made it, Brother Mark. We thought we saw the operation of God. We thought we saw the body coming up. And we were rejoicing. You know, in the last visit that I was there, before a period of time where the Lord would not allow me to go back. It was about 5 years. Maybe 6 years. Maybe 7 years. It was a long time. We had been going to Nigeria for almost 13 or 14 years. But there came a time when God said, "You can't go now." In the last meeting, I stood up in the midst of the congregation and I said to them in a word of prophecy, I said, "You have done well. God is pleased. And you have done well in your poverty. You have moved in accordance to my word, and I am pleased." He said, "But now is coming the time of blessing. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to prosper you." And everybody, of course, was saying amen. Everybody was rejoicing. Hallelujah. But something in my heart wouldn't let me rejoice. Something in my heart was weeping. Because I knew that when prosperity came, there was going to be a lot of things under the rug. A lot of things buried within the souls of men that were going to begin to manifest themselves. Hallelujah. And it didn't take very long at all. Hallelujah. It didn't take very long at all. Do you hear me? It took 13 or 14 or maybe 15 years to get the church to that place, to that position, where they were moving together in a short space of time. Short space of time, maybe 3 years at the most. Hallelujah. Prosperity came. Division came. Individualism came. Pride came. Lust came. Hallelujah. And the body was split. Not only was it split, but it was fragmented. Because they did not remember. They did not hold fast. They did not repent. And did they are robbed of power. They are under the submission of the hand of the oppressor. Hallelujah. They cannot even fear. They have to fear leaving their children at home or walking out into the streets. Because of their prosperity. They have been targeted for kidnapping. Hello? Hallelujah. Of what value? What value is the word that they have received? Hallelujah. There was a daughter, you know, many years ago, maybe 18 years ago, we were a meeting in Port Harcourt. Hallelujah. My God. We were in the house of a couple, and there was another couple in that congregation. Hallelujah. That was dirt poor. But they had a little daughter that was afflicted by malaria. Hallelujah. And they required and requested of us that we would pray for her. So we prayed. My God. And God moved. That little girl had a temperature of 104 or 105. But when we laid hands on her, there was a sister that was with us, that had been traveling with us. And she had a vision 20 years ago of in that house, praying for that little girl. Hallelujah. And as we laid hands on her and prayed for her, hallelujah, the power of God came out of heaven. Can you hear me? Came out of heaven and touched her. One of the brothers had a hold of her foot. Hallelujah. And he says that as we begin to pray, he could feel the fever like water running down out of the leg and through his hand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's power. That's glory. Because God wanted to demonstrate, and out of that manifestation, a church was born. Did you hear me? A church was born. Hallelujah. That was soon to be split apart by prosperity, self-sufficiencies, and self-exaltation. They did not remember. They did not remember. They did not hold fast. Are you going to remember? Are you going to hold fast? Are you going to repent? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, one of the admonitions to every church in Revelation was that they repent. Hallelujah. Unless God came and took away their candle or their lampstand. You know, it is not that God needs you. Did you know that? It's that God wants you. Do you understand the difference? God Almighty, Triune God, omnipotent, omnipresent, present, omniscient God wants you. He wants you.
Gusto siya kanimo.
God so loved the world. Hallelujah. That He opened the door to heaven to you and I, that we might be able to participate with Him in the end time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us go back. So here we are. He says, verse 4.
Versículo 4.
Verse 3. He says, if therefore thou shalt not watch. I will come unto thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I shall come. Let me read this to you in a different way, if I may. If I am watching, then I will not be taken like a thief coming. Do you hear me? If I am watching, then no thief is able to come. I will see the thief. Hallelujah. And if I see the thief, then the thief will not be able to do what the thief wants to do. Who is the thief? Hallelujah. Is he not Satan? Is he not the God of this world? Are not the things of this world under the control and at the disposal of the thief, that is the devil? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on top of that, I can know, I will know the hour of His coming. Hello?
Hello?
I will know the hour of His coming. If I am not watching, I cannot know the hour. But if I am watching, hallelujah. Does not the Gospels tell us to watch and to wait? If you cannot see, if you cannot recognize, why then would God command you to watch? God commanded you to watch so that you could see. Hallelujah. You are put as watchmen upon a wall. Hallelujah. And if a watchman is upon the wall, he has the responsibility of watching. And he's watching for the enemy to come. My God, you are all watchmen. You are hearing a word. You are hearing a word that gives you the ability to see. You are hearing a word that gives you the ability to hear. You are hearing a word that gives you the ability to speak. Hallelujah. You know, in the beginning, with the development of the church, the ministries of the church are needed. But as the church grows in God, it should put you out of a job. Did you hear me? It should put you out of a job, elders, shepherds. Hallelujah. Or what it should do is push you out to find another flock.
Ang buti pasabot na lang sa sarili mamtong na ikaw wa na magay trabaho na sa iglesia.
If you in your position, if you in your position of oversight,
una ka diyan sa posisyon nga nagtan-aw na,
are teaching the people to rely upon you.
Unya kung ano kailang mahimo masulti ka tuloy.
The only thing that you have done that is different from the church is that you changed your title.
Mao na nga tindinsya mga igsoon na kita ngayon ato na lang balhiron nga tuwa ang titulo.
Did you hear me? That's all you've done.
Mao na lang ay mahimo.
Because you want that congregation of people.
Gusto ka tukay gusto ni mo lang kanang
in a place of strength. That when the robber breaks into their house, they don't have to call the shepherd. They just call on Jesus. They rebuke the devil with the authority that is within them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me and in white, for they are worthy.
Dahil mga dili maayo na himo diya sa list og ikaw padayon nga ni paglakaw nga ni kanako og ako uban kanimo.
If you want to walk with Jesus,
kung kita gusto magiglakaw
like
uban
kanimo, Adam walked with Jesus.
Gusto tang magiguban ni Jesus.
Like Enoch walked with Jesus.
Tama ni Enoch ang naglakaw uban sa Dios.
Like Noah walked with Jesus.
Tama ni Noah naglakaw uban.
As Abraham walked with Jesus.
Si Abraham usab.
You have to be worthy. You have to be holding fast. You have to be remembering. You need to be developing in your position of repentance. It says that when John met Christ, Revelation chapter 1, when John met Christ, he fell down as one that was dead. Hallelujah. It took divine intervention in the hand of God to lift him up. Hallelujah. Now listen to this, verse 5. Verse 5 is the number of grace. It is also the number of ministry. Five fingers on one hand minister to my body. And so it is also in the church. Hallelujah. But I want you to listen to what he says. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. What are we talking about? We're talking about the sealing of God. But we're not only talking about the sealing of God, brethren. The sealing of God does not happen until you come to the golden altar of incense. And it will not happen unless you have had the works of grace being administered to you, so that the offering that you bring to this altar here is pure, it's sanctified, it's consecrated. This is not a sin offering.
dili kini siya ingon nga sin offering.
This is the offering of a sanctified soul.
Mao kini siya ang offering gitawag nga nilain nga kalat.
And it says in the scripture,
ingon ang balang kasulatan,
that it's only here. That your name shall not be blotted out. Do you understand the consequences of that? Do you? It means it can be blotted out here.
Right?
It means it can be blotted out here. It means it can be blotted out here. It means that we can be blotted out here. We have to come to the line of demarcation. We have to not only come to it, but step over it and into it. Hallelujah. In order for the power, the glory, and the authority of Jesus Christ to be given unto us. This station. That means that you have the potential of sinning here. You have the potential of sinning here. And you have the potential of sinning there. Now, if you fall into sin, the devil tricks you. Don't wallow in self-pity, repent. Repent. Because unrepented sin begins to build. There is no sin too great are too ugly that God will not forgive if the heart is truly in repentance of that sin. And it says that He will remove it as far as is the east from the west. So we leave you with a full plate.
He had a pizza in kaupat.
We leave you with a full cup.
Iyang ibilin nga ni kanato may son. Kini nga mao nga mga pagtulunan.
I trust that you will do your utmost
to
eat it and to drink it.
Ikaw ran nini, kauno nimo ni, inumo nimo.
God bless you.
Ang Ginoo na pagkapanalangin.
Thank you very much. God bless you.